3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you after a wild, wild weekend in Boston. The Mariners taking on the Red Sox at Fenway Park, and it was a crazy, crazy three games at Fenway. So glad to have you with us here on the podcast on a Monday. This one's going to be slightly different than normal. I only have a couple minutes here. I'm actually getting set to hop on a plane, so I only have a couple minutes. I'm going to put it all together, but it's going to sound a little different than normal, although we'll have a lot of the same sorts of aspects. I won't be able to dive too much into what happened over the weekend. Craziness, lots of runs, lots of hits, but I will have the highlights from yesterday coming. A great on-the-field interview with Rob Rasmussen coming up as well. Shannon Dreher talked with him right after the game yesterday. So we'll break down the game yesterday. You'll hear the highlights. You'll hear a couple of the interviews from yesterday in what was a nice win for the Mariners, bouncing back from two really, really tough losses against the Red Sox in the first two games of the series. So that's coming. Interesting conversation with Peter Gammons on the way. At least I hope you think it's interesting. I kind of do. But he talks about Edgar Martinez a little bit. I saw him. It's a cool moment behind the batting cage in game one of the series. And he was just talking to Edgar Martinez. And I thought it was a cool moment to see those two guys chatting about things. So I talked to Peter Gammons, too, and asked him about Edgar Martinez and the Hall of Fame. Get his kind of a national perspective on that. He's going to talk a little bit about Felix Hernandez as well and just kind of the state of baseball. So I think that's a fun conversation that's coming up. I'm going to put the week that was in the mix because it celebrates the no-hitter, and that's always fun to do. So that's going to be in the mix as well. Some other things along the way. So tomorrow will be a little bit more normal, but hopefully you enjoy this one after a crazy weekend in Boston. A tough first couple of games here at Fenway Park. I really had to battle in this one to get the victory, but they did. They grabbed it over the Red Sox 10-8 in really impressive fashion, considering some of the things they really had to overcome during the ball game to get it done. It was great to see in the first inning, they really came out swinging the bats and got to the Red Sox right away. Marte led things off with a double. He had an excellent day. And then after a Seager strikeout, Cruz would ground out. Then Robinson Cano would step up, and he would start what would be one of his best career days at the plate.
Here's the pitch, swung on, well hit right center field. Going and going, goodbye baseball. Into the bleachers in right field. It soared right over the Boston Red Sox bullpen. Robinson Cano with a line drive, two-run home run here in the top of the first inning. And the Mariners have a 2-0 lead. Ketel Marte aboard, and for Robbie, home run number 13, and that was a laser shot to right.
Good start for the M's, a two-run job right there, and they weren't done. A little back-to-back jack action.
The pitch, swing and a fly ball into deep center. Going back, Betts to the warning track, looking up, goodbye baseball! Just to the right of the batter's eye. Straight away center field here at Fenway. Cano and Gutierrez going back-to-back here in the top of the first inning. And it's now the Mariners 3 and the Red Sox nothing. Number 6 for Franklin Gutierrez.
Same sort of thing in the third inning as well. Robinson Cano would drive in a run, his second hit, as he picks up an RBI. And then Franklin Gutierrez would come up again and bash a ball.
Here's the pitch to him. And that is swung on and hit high and deep to right field. Back on it is Castillo. He's at the warning track. And this one is gone into the Red Sox bullpen. Second time in the ballgame, Franklin Gutierrez has hit a home run. This time it's a three-run jack. And the Mariners have opened it up here in the third inning. The Mariners 7 and the Red Sox nothing. Franklin Gutierrez having a monster day. Two home runs and four RBIs. His 7th home run of the year. What a day for Franklin Gutierrez, and we're only in the third inning.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Two home runs, only the second time in his career now he's gone yard twice in one ball game. But the Boston Red Sox, as you thought they would, and the way they've swung the bats, especially here at Fenway Park, they do make a charge back, including David Ortiz. You can always count on him to drive in runs.
The stretch and the 3-1 to Ortiz, swinging a fly ball into center field. Right there is Austin Jackson waiting. He'll make the catch, tagging a third and scoring his Holt. The throw into second, and the Red Sox add another run. It's now the Mariners 7 and Boston 4.
So really crawling close at that point, just a three-run difference. Tom Wilhelmsen comes out of the pen, gets out of trouble in the fifth inning, and then he was lights out. In the sixth goes 1-2-3.
Now he gets set. Here's the pitch. Strike three, called, got him looking. A slider at 89. Wicked movement, and it froze Rutledge, and that's the inning. Tom Wilhelmsen goes 1-2-3 here in the sixth.
And then in the seventh inning, the Mariners play a little add-on as Nelson Cruz does it again, number 36 on the season.
The 2-2. That is slashed high and deep to right field. This one has a chance. Back on it, Castillo, and he's going to watch this one sail into the crowd and gone, hooking around the pesky's pole in right field. And this one is out of here. Nelson Cruz had just swatted his 36th home run of the season. He has driven in run number 74, and he has added on to this lead. It's now the Mariners 8 and the Red Sox 4. Nelson Cruz has done it again. He is amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. That was another home run by Nelson Cruz. They're double up at that point, but the Red Sox, they wouldn't go away. Two in the seventh, and then in the ninth, down by two against Carson Smith, they would tie this game.
The pitch on the way. Swing and a line drive into left field. That's going to drop in a base hit. Here comes one run. Ortiz trying to score. Throw to the plate in time. Zunino with the tag, and Ortiz, he is out at home. And the inning is over, but the game is not. The Red Sox have tied it. A single to left by Shaw to score. Holt from third. Ortiz was trying to score. Smith's throw to Zunino, and plenty of time to get Ortiz at the plate. And that will end the inning.
Oh, there it was. So they get the play at home plate to keep the game going, but this one was tied as we go to the 12th. Zeros on the board in the 10th and the 11th. To the 12th inning we go. Bases loaded for the Mariners. Jackson a base hit, Trumbo a base hit, and then Morrison was trying to sacrifice. An error is made, so bases loaded, nobody down. Two strikes on Mike Zunino, and he would come up with the big hit.
The 2-2 pitch to Zunino swings and rips it into left field. That's a base hit, and the Mariners have taken the lead. Coming home is Austin Jackson. Everybody moves up a base, and with two strikes, Mike Zunino comes up huge. A base hit into left field, and the Mariners now lead. It's the Mariners 9. It's the Red Sox 8.
And then the Mariners weren't done. Kyle Seager, again with two strikes, would come up large.
Ross ready. Here's the pitch to Seager. Swings, rifles it down the line. A fair ball rolling to right field. One run's going to score. Miller's going to trot in. That's going to be it. As holding at third base is Morrison. And the merry-go-round continues here in the 12th inning. An RBI single for Kyle Seager. This one with two strikes. And the Mariners now have extended their lead. It's the Mariners 10. It's the Red Sox 8.
10-8 at that point, and that's how things would stay heading to the bottom of the 12th. Rasmussen was on. He walked the leadoff man, and then Danny Farquhar comes out of the bullpen, nearly last man standing. It was he and Montgomery out there, and I think that was about it for this ball game. But Farquhar comes on, gets a couple of punch-outs, and then finishes the deal.
Farquhar set once again. Here's the 2-2. Slow roller right back to Farquhar. He's got it. Runs it over, underhand to first. It is in time, and that is the ball game. The Mariners win a marathon here in Boston, 10-8 over the Boston Red Sox in 12 innings. A hard-fought victory for the Mariners as they come out victorious somehow, some way. The bullpen gets the job done, and so does the offense as the Mariners get the win, 10-8. What a ball game, and what a win. What a way to salvage the final game of this three-game series.
There it was. They win this one 10-8, a wild one in 12 innings.
I am down here with somebody who really gave the Mariners something they needed right now in the 11th inning, and that's Rob Rasmussen. That was a tough situation that you came into. You pitched the last 2 days as well. Before the day, I mean, we just keep hearing bullpen's tired, bullpen's tired. How do they check in with you guys, and what did you tell them?
Waiter just asked us, sorry, I'm exhausted right now, waiter asked us how we're feeling. You know, obviously I was a little tired, but, you know, obviously I haven't been here real long, so whatever I can do to help out, I told them I got whatever they need. Obviously we didn't want it to get to that situation, but it did. And when it did, you know, especially going on 3 days rest, it's more about just willing yourself to do it and not worrying about anything physical and just trying to overcome it as much as you can.
You step in and you're going to come into the heart of the Red Sox order right there with no room for error. You pitched against them a little bit the last few days. You've been watching. What's your plan of attack?
You know, at that point, you're just trying to be as aggressive as you can. You can live with getting beat, but you can't live with beating yourself. Unfortunately, walked Bogarts and then walked Shaw. Would have liked to help save Danny and not had to use him. But, you know, you're just trying to be as aggressive as you can, as quick as you can, get some outs. Didn't really do that, but it still worked out.
Well, you got a big out with a runner on, and that was David Ortiz. When he steps up and you're not putting him on, you've got to face him, you've got to pitch to him. What was your plan for him, and what did you see from him at the plate?
My plan was to try to throw strikes. I fell behind him. Luckily, I faced him a couple times yesterday and a couple times last year, and I actually stepped off the mound 3-2 after he fouled off a couple and just smiled to myself and said, you know, like, you got friends and family back home who are smiling and laughing that you're in a battle with David Ortiz right now. Why not just try to win it? And then a couple pitches later, he happened to swing and miss. And, you know, then you know, got Castillo on the next batter, which was big.
Now, see, I don't know if you know it, but some of the times when you turned around, he was looking at you. He does that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's an intimidating presence in there, that's for sure. And, you know, I respect him. Obviously, he's done a whole heck of a lot in this game. He's almost at 500 homers, but I'm not going to back down at the same time, and I'm going to stay aggressive and make him beat me.
Yeah, and you got him to the next inning, which was important in this game where every run and every out counts. Rob, thank you.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
Definitely add on as many runs as possible. You know, this tough series on the bullpen, they had a lot of innings done, and, you know, just to tack on as much as possible was, you know, pretty big.
How important for that was you with your lack of success with runners in scoring positions?
That was a nicer way of putting it than yesterday's question about it. So, you know, I'm not stressing about that. You know, there's nothing you can't change it in one swing. You go, you take the same approach in any other situation, and, you know, everything will work out like it should.
Hey, overall, get some today off. I mean, what a roller coaster.
Summing up was long. Yeah, it was really long. It was two teams battling. You know, we were able to get on them, and, you know, they battled back, and then, you know, we had to battle there at the end. So, I mean, it was a long game. You know, a lot of battling.
Do you ever feel comfortable with the lead or out of it in this part? I mean, you know, like if you're down or with the way it plays.
You know, when we got a lead, we feel pretty good about it. You know, especially, you know, you get the ball to the end of the game like we did. You know, but I mean, stuff like that happens. You know, they've been swinging the bat really, really well this series. So, I mean, to close them out is, you know, is going to be pretty tough.
You guys, though, you've had a few innings where you've really strung hits together, and just, you know, approach-wise, and just kind of feeding off of the at-bats and what you're seeing.
Yeah, you know, I thought we swung the bat pretty well this series. You know, the first game we didn't do, you know, too much, but, you know, the second two games, obviously, scoring double-digit runs is, you know, is pretty good. And I think, you know, kind of just staying with the process.
Visiting here with the great Peter Gammons, and here we are at Fenway Park. And I just saw you have a long conversation with Edgar Martinez. What do you remember about Edgar Martinez as a hitter?
How he almost never hit a foul ball. He held his hands inside, and the way he hit the ball was astounding to me. I mean, he was really an artist, and he would hit the ball so hard. But there are just very few guys that you ever see that almost always hit the ball in play somewhere, and that's what amazed me about him. But he's certainly one of the best hitters I ever saw. I mean, I always think about what would have happened if he had stayed healthy his whole career. It's really a shame. But also, the other thing I remember so much is what an incredible gentleman he is. So we were actually talking about some guys I remember. But he was drafted a little bit later, assigned a little bit later, but still he played with some of these guys in the minor leagues. And it was in the days of Harold Reynolds coming up to the minor leagues. For some reason, I can still remember the whole starting lineup for the 82 Lynn Sailors.
What do you think his chances are of the Hall of Fame at this point?
I still think there's a chance because I think, and it sounds funny, but I think that the DH, I mean, there have been a lot of, it's an era when there are a lot of good players, and we know so much more. People get dissected a little bit more. So we know more about the guys that are on the ballot. But I think the fact that David Ortiz, once he passes 500 homers and gets so much, or I mean, basically, it's been done as a DH. And I think David Ortiz will really help Edgar. Because I think people, he'll, the next 2 years he'll retire and people will say, you know what, David Ortiz belongs in the Hall of Fame. And so I think it'll be, I think that will help. And I think there's a chance. I think that there's more, people used to think that you vote for the Hall of Fame, it should be exclusionary. And I don't, I should be inclusionary. And I think there's nothing wrong with having a lot of players in. We've had the last 2 years, we've had, I think, 5 and 4 people going into the Hall of Fame, and they've been the, two of the best weekends ever at Cooperstown. This year with 4, I mean, it was, well, it was the record for the audience. And, I mean, I do a thing every year on Monday, the day after the induction, with for the Hall, where they have a season, people who contribute to the Hall, they sit in the stands and listen to this roundtable I do for a couple of hours. And I mean, I thought it was more response this year. Now, there were characters. I mean, obviously, Pedro Martinez is larger than life. Randy Johnson is larger than life. And they're both absolutely brilliant. But it was really fun. Smoltz's great, and Craig Biggio was terrific. And by the way, I thought it was really interesting because I had a couple of long conversations with Randy about 95. And he takes so much pride in that charge and all it meant to end up, you know, I mean, they get to the 6th game of the ALCS, but Randy's the guy who really got up there. He was so great, and he's really proud of that, of those moments. And what's funny is about that last game, it was Randy Johnson against Charles Nagy, and Harold, who was a friend of mine when he was a player, was still a player, drove up from Portland, Oregon to watch the game with me. And I said to him, Harold, you know what? You don't want to go to spring training as a non-roster guy again. So I'll get a tryout at ESPN. I think you should go into television. So that was the beginning of Harold's career, too. So Randy contributed to it.
That's tremendous. I mean, you talk about the Hall of Fame. What a great day it was for baseball. And you look at around the game right now, so many young stars with Trout, McCutcheon. The list is so long. What is the state of the game right now?
I think it's much better than people think. I mean, a lot of people said to me, the game will really die when they don't have steroids, they don't have amphetamines. But all it's done is drive a lot of young players. I think teams, too, are more thoughtful about, you know what, guys do need days off. I mean, whatever Carlos Correa is going to be next year, 12 or whatever he'll be, you can't play him every day. He's got to sit down. And I think it's, I think the game has come to grips with a lot of what, you know, a lot of the, how the game is much tougher to play in some ways because the schedule is so bad. There's so many night games on getaway days and you're flying across the country. But these young guys, it's so much fun to watch. I mean, and to think how many guys there are. I mean, even the Red Sox. Bogarts is the highest shortstop in the American League in WAR. And Betts is going to be a great player. And they have a couple more. And they're all 22. Yeah. I mean, and they'll all be just coming out of college. So it's... it's fun to see, and it's really rejuvenating. I think that it also has really helped the image of baseball, because for too long they depended so much on talking about the 50s and 40s and 60s, and I love Henry Aaron and Joe Torre and people like that, but they were the faces of baseball. Now it's McCutcheon and Trout and Bryce Harper and guys like that, and I think that's really important.
In Seattle, we get the pleasure of watching Felix Hernandez pitch every 5 days, and the numbers he's put up as a 29-year-old are remarkable. It's up there with some of the best in the game. What is the national perception of Felix Hernandez right now?
He's one of the 1, 2, 3 best pitchers in the American League, and probably a future Hall of Famer as long as he stays healthy. I like to talk to people about guys who constantly can reinvent themselves. And I think that's one of the things. So Felix is not what he was when he was 25, but that split, is the way he changed his speeds, he's so competitive that, I don't see any reason he won't be really good through the age of 35. And again, reinventing, that's why I think of all the free agents, Johnny Cueto is the best free agent because he'll be something different every year. And that's, I love that. And I think he could do enough things with his delivery to be Louis Tion.
Wow. Well, Peter, it's been a real pleasure. Oh, thank you so much for the time.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot.
This is The Week That Was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
Kicks and fires away. Swing, and this is hobbled high. This is up by the light towers. This is gone inside the bullpen. Get out the stopwatch for some hang time. Nelson Cruz, a 19-game hitting streak. It ties the career best, and it's his 12th home run. 19 games. The Mariners lead it 4-2. Two outs. The man at second. The Kings 1-2. Chu swings and he cuts right through it. Oh, he handcuffed him. A high inside fastball. Felix punches his fist as he walks off the Safeco Field mound. His day is done after seven innings. And the Mariners have given him the lead as we go to the stretch.
The 1-1 to Cruz. Swing and a fly ball deep straightaway center field. Jones going back. Body track to the wall. Leaps up. Goodbye baseball. That's one way to extend your hitting streak to 21 games. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Swung on, well hit. Ball deep to left field.
Oh, get
holy smokes.
Up or down.
Get going, up. Going. Gone. Goodbye baseball. Off the out-of-town scoreboard. Just underneath the facing of the upper deck in left center field. Mark Trumbo with a jumbo home run.
Base is jammed. Nobody out. The pitch to Jackson. He swings and he lines it. It's a fair ball into the right field corner. The Mariners win it. Logan Morrison comes across home plate. And Austin Jackson is trying to dodge about 24 bullets all clad in Mariners white. He's mobbed halfway between first and second. The Mariners walk off in 10. Austin Jackson, the base-winning hit into right field. 6-5, your final.
The 1-1. Swinging a ground ball, rake to Cano. Easy play there. Picks it up. Whips a toss on to first base. Paredes is retired. Iwakuma, 7 brilliant innings. Only 2 walks allowed. That's it.
The 3-1 to Joseph. Swinging a ground ball to short. Marte's got it. Over to Cano. 1. The relay to first. Double play. Side retired. Holy smokes. 6-4-3. The double play. They get Scope at second and double up Joseph at first base. No runs, no hits.
You know, it means a lot to me accomplishing this to, you know, my teammates. We played great defense today, and they gave us 3 runs early. My family that was here at the game today, you know, I felt mentally strong with them being around. The fans were great, you know, very supportive. You know, I felt the fans a lot towards the end especially, so... You know, it means a lot to me accomplishing this in a Seattle Mariner uniform.
The 2-2 to David Lowe. Swing and a pop-up outside of third. Over foul ground. Kyle Seager near the seats. And he makes the catch. He twisted his glove around behind him. And he gets to it. Holy smokes. There is out number 1. Kyle Seager had to turn his back to the infield. Going away down that left field line in front of the box seats. And with his back toward the infield, made the catch, and there's one down.
I think he was going to do it regardless, but, you know, that's just a testament to how good he was today, where, you know, the big hurdle, the only, you know, ball that was really in question at all was a foul ball. So, I mean, he was incredible today.
The windup and the pitch on the way. Parra with a swing and a fly ball. Left center field on the run, Jackson. He makes the catch. A no-hitter for Hisashi Iwakuma. Iwakuma being mobbed out at the mound. The 5th no-hitter in Mariners history. Hisashi Iwakuma has done it.
As soon as that guy hit the ball, I thought it was going to drop. And I was like, no way.
The 0-2 pitch on the way. Swing! It's over! He has done it! High fastball, Randy Johnson being mobbed.
Swung on, high jump over the mound. Charged by Vizquel. Bare edge throws. It's over! And Bozzio has done it!
The 0-1 on the way, swinging a ground ball to Ackley at second. He's got it. The throw to first. It's over. The Mariners have a combined no-hitter. Hernandez looks in. The windup and the 2-2 pitch. Strike three called. Felix Hernandez pumps his arms in the air. Felix has just thrown the first perfect game in Seattle Mariners history. Haro with a swing and a fly ball. Left center field. On the run, Jackson. He makes the catch. A no-hitter. Hisashi Iwakuma being mobbed out at the mound.